So anyway, I flew here from Flagstaff because my manager doesn't own a globe. I flew here on a plane that big, like a pack of gum with eight people in it, just... We took off from the Flagstaff Airport Hair Care and Tire Center there. We're traveling at half the speed of smell. We got passed by a kite. There was a goose behind us, and the pilot was going, "Go around." We get halfway to Phoenix, we got to go back. It's a 9-minute flight. Can't pull it off with this equipment. We had some engine trouble. We lost some oil pressure in one of the engines, and they told us about it over the speaker system of the plane, which was stupid because they could have just went, "Hey, we lost some oil pressure." Heard ya. It was weird. Everybody on the plane was nervous, but I'd been drinking since lunch, and I was like, "Take it down. I don't care." You ever had one of those days? Hit something hard. I don't want to limp away from this wreck. The guy sitting next to me is losing his mind. Apparently, he had a lot to live for. He goes, "Hey man, hey man, if one of these engines fails, how far will the other one take us?" "All the way to the scene of the crash." Which is pretty handy, because that's where we're headed. I bet we beat the paramedics there by a half hour.
Welcome to the Nurse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gittins, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
You were telling me before we started recording the things you watched over the weekend. Well, that's I got stuck in that rabbit hole. Watched two Ron White specials, and then watched both Blue Collar and Blue Collar Rides Again.
Yeah. And I always liked those. But, I mean, what was funny is, like, I think we've talked about this before. When I first saw them, the very first time I saw the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, like, live, Ron White was my least favorite.
I don't think you've ever told me that, because that's the most blasphemous. It's almost as blasphemous as you not liking E.T.
Here's the thing. He's the only one I had never seen before. I had never seen anything on him. So he was brand new to me at that time. And he was blotto. I mean, he could barely fucking stand up.
Well, yeah.
And it just, for whatever reason, it didn't hit. But then what's funny is, like, I swear I've told you this before. Now, out of all of them, he's the only one that I would go out of my way to watch.
I agree with that to an extent. I find Foxworthy funny, not just his "You Might Be a Redneck," which was a great bit that paid for every fucking thing in his life.
Yeah, he does have some other good stuff. He does.
But his, so. I think it was Netflix, the last special he put out just last year was, and maybe because I'm getting older and I've gone through a lot of those parental experiences now.
Yeah.
You know, which is when comedy's relevant to you and you're like, "Oh, yeah, I fucking did that," you know. When he, similar to, like, the bit, like, I'm not sure I laughed a whole lot when he first did it, but where he talks about living in the estrogen sea of hell.
And oh, now you get it.
Now I got three daughters, and I'm like, yep. I'm fucking, that's a great bit. Like, I'm fucking there, you know.
Yeah.
But Ron White, to me, is the only, and I shouldn't say the only, but Ron White always stuck out to me as the only true comedian.
Yeah.
Where, like I said, Foxworthy's got, his stand-up's pretty good, especially for clean, right? We forget sometimes how hard being clean is.
And it can be.
You know, and to keep the funniness. Bill Engvall, even the "Here's Your Sign" stuff, gets old quick.
It does. Bill Engvall was one of those ones. He was funny for about 20 minutes. if that. But then after that, it's here's your sign over and over again. And it's like he had a couple other bits besides that. But I mean, once he lost the here's your sign part, he kind of his stick, there was nothing, not a whole lot to
Yeah.
it. And it was just, I had the same thing with Larry the Cable Guy. He was funny at first, but then after a while, it got old.
He'll catch me laughing once every set because he just goes so fucking far out there that you can't help but laugh.
Yeah, he does.
Right? But I'm not, which is funny because the whole thing that ever got me to watch stand-up comedy is Andrew Dice Clay, which Larry the Cable Guy is a clean redneck version of Andrew Dice Clay. There's not
Yes.
an ounce of truth to anything he says, just horribly outlandish jokes, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe my comedy's sense of humor in comedy has matured to the point where I'm like, but I've always said too, like, I like stories.
So do I.
And we know that none of the stories are 100% true.
No, we
But
all embellish to make them funnier.
those ones that, you know happen to some extent.
Yeah.
You know, not Larry the Cable Guy's grandma's covered in moles. Like,
Yeah.
who cares?
I think it was his sister, wasn't it? I don't remember. But it's one of those, but that's why I like, tater salad, because I mean, it's stories and they're fun stories. And like I said, I don't know what it was the first time. It just didn't hit me. But then every time I've seen him since then, and I've seen him live since then too, he's my favorite. I mean, out of all the popular comics now, he's one of the one that I would go out of my way to go see.
Well, and he, I think a lot of it too, he probably reminds us most of our style.
Of us. Yeah. Oh, it's definitely our style. The stories, the stupid shit where it's just like, I mean, like the whole tater salad. But then eventually, he'll do something and go back, say something about it later that you'll be like, ha-ha. But I mean, it's the story, it's the written. And I think that's one thing, especially doing comedy for, a while now, is you start to see substance more than I think when we were younger. When we were younger, it was whatever tickled our fancy at that moment. Now it's like, 'cause there's comics that I liked when I was younger that I don't now, because I'm like, I don't hear any substance in it. It's just them screaming into a microphone.
That's not a very nice way to talk about Kinnison.
No, Kinison had stories. I'm talking about, I'll be honest, it's Dennis Leary was the one that was one of my favorites forever. And then now, I mean, when I listen to him now, it's just him screaming into a microphone. He's really good at what he does and really good at his stick. But a lot of times, I mean, it's like there's nothing. And there's a couple comics around here, like local comics that are like that. They just scream into a microphone, but if you sit back and listen, there's nothing to it. There's no joke there.
Now, it depends on what Leary's screaming about. When Leary gets
Larry can.
into current event, politics, government, shit like that,
Yes.
fucking phenomenal. Like,
Oh, he can destroy it.
to be honest, with all the different hosts they're going through now on The Daily Show,
Oh, yeah.
like, Leary to me would be
Would be perfect.
a good option. At least give him his week, you know.
He would be, because he's, if when you get him on some of those, because it's like, I think one of my favorite ones is with him is on, oh, Demolition Man. When he goes on his tirade and goes on that like long speech, when he gets on one of those political like long speeches, yes. But then when he tries going anywhere else with it, it's just, he's not there. I mean, but on The Daily Show, he would destroy it. He has a niche, but it's one of those things that, as long as he stays within that niche, I think he does really well.
Yeah, I could see him being very successful with The Daily Show. So I got a tattoo,
I did see that.
and they had comedy on. We were talking, we mentioned clean comedy. Nate Bargatze.
Never heard of him.
They had like three, the time I was there, three specials had gone. Like, we finished the last 10 minutes of one, watched a whole nother hour one, and then caught the first 15 minutes of one before I was done. I mean, look him up to see if you.
Nate Bargatze?
Yeah, Bargatze.
What's this thing? Come on.
He's hailed as the nicest man in stand-up. Hey, we share the same birthday, March 25th, 1979. That must have been a good day to push out funny people. Well, that was an awkward moment of silence.
It was. That was awkward. I was looking up Nate. Nate Bergonzi. Ooh, tickets. Cigarettes after sex. What? That's not him.
I mean, you could tell some of those jokes as being clean.
What, my jokes?
No. Cigarettes after sex.
I mean, you could, I guess. He looks old like you. He's on Prime.
Yeah. I think his specials were Amazon specials.
Yeah.
Which makes
nice
sense.
Man in stand-up.
It's probably a little more Amazon-ish, being a clean... Not that they don't show dirty comics.
No, but...
Right? But I mean... If you go through Amazon Prime stand-up, now you are going to find some old Carlin. I think they have some Kinison specials. But when it's the newer type people, you get the blue comedy blue collar comedy. You get Nate.
You get a podcast.
I see a lot of Gallagher, you know, shit like that when you go through the Amazon Prime comedy specials.
And he
Josh
has a podcast.
Blue, does he?
Nate Land. The Nate Land podcast.
Yeah.
But I might have to look at him. I mean, I do like the clean comics, and it's one of those things that someone who does comedy now, I get.
You appreciate it more.
I do, and I have the utmost respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those things, I mean, we've admitted it when we first started. You do rely occasionally. You'll throw a fuck out there just to try and, just to, you know, whatever. And these
emphasize
people
emphasize something.
To emphasize something, and these guys have found ways to do it. Because that was one thing, Tosh, when we first started. Tosh was the greatest one at telling us when, hey, you know, fucktard, you're doing, you know, stop doing that, you know, and like the greatest critic, but also like the greatest help when I first started, because my wife's no help. She just looks at me and goes, you're doing great. where, you know, Tosh would tell me, you know, the actual truth, you know, she'd be like, dude, you're relying on the word fuck too much. Knock it off. You know, and then I would think about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right, I am. And, you know, trying to only use it when I needed to. But, I mean, I could probably do my entire set without using it.
Now, I'd be curious to go back through his old stuff and see if he ever worked blue. But
probably
when you think of guys, I'm just thinking local celebrities, local big comics. But, like, Gabe, he did Dry Bar. And mm-hmm. fantastic. It didn't take out a single laugh, right? No. Rivers, same way. He did Dry Bar.
But if you really think about it with Gabe really, even when he is, I mean, he's got a couple where he does for fun if he can in the crowd, but a lot of times he is clean to begin with.
Yeah, he's
a little,
there's
some
a lot
dirty.
More swears in it, right? I'm not talking the material isn't so much clean, because there's ways to do all material to a clean version.
There is. Right. It just depends on how clean you want to be. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, do you mean clean where I can't say fuck, or do you mean clean where I can't say...
Like, Dry Bar Comedy in Utah, sexy. You can't even say the word damn.
Nice.
So
I probably couldn't make the whole joke about pegging then.
Oh, nope.
Yeah,
now, and so,
get me kicked out.
To me, if you were always a clean comic, you don't know any different. Right?
Yeah.
You don't have to break that habit. When you work typically with swear words and then have to go perform without swear words, that to me has probably got to be the toughest thing in comedy.
Oh, it's got to be. And it's one of those things I feel like, at least, I don't know, I haven't listened in a while. I mean, I've got like my last 26 where I did like 26, 27 minutes. I don't think I swear a lot in it, because there's really, it's not written into any of them. If I do, it's something just off the cuff, whatever, I might say it, but I don't, it's not because I'm trying not to, it's just, it doesn't fit what I'm doing anymore.
I just swear in everyday fucking life. Like, and
oh,
that's,
so do I.
I think that's why it comes out in my comedy, because I don't try to be something I'm not.
No, you know? So that's me too. It's like, I don't write it in there on purpose, so occasionally it's going to come out just because it does, because I fucking swear. You know?
I work at a day job where... Yeah. Our motto has swearing in it, like, you know. Yeah, swearing is just second nature to me.
I swear in my classes, because I tell everyone all the time, if you're in construction, you haven't heard the word fuck, then you're in the wrong fucking, you're working for the wrong people. But I mean,
But there's no clean construction company?
no, there's not.
Yes,
Not at
there
all.
is. It's called the LDS Church.
Jesus, fuck them.
Those motherfuckers will build anything for you.
Yeah, and that's because they all have fucking like 12 kids. There's still that whole thing that, you know, people think that you have to have 12 kids so you can fucking run the farm. There's no goddamn farms anymore. People, put it back in your pants.
Tosh still wants me to put those fuckers to work, and I just can't. Like, I would rather do it myself and or pay a company to do it for me than to have to listen to 10 minutes of their psychobabble bullshit. And she doesn't get that.
See, the thing is too, is they won't do anything, or they won't, technically they would help her, but they won't come in the house unless you're there. They're not supposed to.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Unless it's, there are female missionaries,
Now,
unless it's the female missionaries.
she won't answer the door when they knock.
Oh, I don't, because I don't want them to fucking talk to me, because they'll come in the second they know I'm here.
But she'll come to the bedroom where I'm laying on the bed playing on my phone or whatever and go, "Hey, the Mormons are at the door. Come answer it. Are you fucking kidding me?" And then
No.
when I show them away, she's like, "Why don't you get them to do the yard work here? When we were building the shed, you could have them paint the shed." And like, okay, you won't answer the door. You won't talk to them, but you want me to fucking do it? No.
Yeah, get out there, man. Make them do stuff.
Yeah, not fucking happening.
No. I don't want to either, because it's like opening,
Oh, no,
it's
it's
like
opening
cracking the door.
Pandora's box. Yeah.
You crack the door, and now they're on their way in. And the next thing you know, you're baptizing your kids, and you're listening to their psycho babble.
So all
You're
my
hiding the
kids are
whiskey every time they walk up.
christened, but the Mormon sect, as you know from experience, is different
We have
than,
to be baptized.
you know, all the other shit, but
Technically, I hold the priesthood and I can do it. Technically, I baptized all my kids because they all went into it.
I can drown babies too. Ask the three you've never met. Like,
It's one of those. I mean, it's and
we call it waterboarding abortion.
The one thing is too is for me, it's like I couldn't work for, you know, I couldn't do dry bar anyway, because I mean, what, 15 minutes of my comedy is making fun of religion.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, do you not own a map? Jesus really should be black. He's not a white, he should not look like me.
He doesn't. He was way thinner.
Well, that's what I mean. It's usually what I say in the joke. I'm like, Jesus, all the pictures, he looks like me, but skinnier.
I look like Jesus fed.
Yes, Jesus, if he had food.
If
So
Jesus
just,
didn't share his food with the poor, this is what
he
he
didn't
would look
go, you
like.
know, if he didn't fast for whatever, 40 days or whatever the bullshit was. So, yeah. Oh, no, I do. It's one of those ones. I just keep waiting for my parents to decide to show up for one of my shows and have them fucking out. So if they show up, that's all I'm doing. I'm just fucking making fun of legend the whole time.
Okay, you've been doing shows for 12 years. Are you expecting your parents anytime soon?
Fuck no.
You sound like the kid sitting at the fucking dining room table waiting for milk 20 years prior. He's coming today. I get my cereal. As you're sitting there with a dry bowl of Mr. T's.
Not gonna happen.
God.
No, yeah, no.
Oh. Waiting for your parents to show up.
Oh, they won't. I know. It's that's just, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Too funny. Too funny. I was trying to look up who else is going to be guest hosting the Daily Show, because we brought that up.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo did it. Did you see any of the clips of that, or?
No, was it any good? I love John
I sort
Leguizamo,
of why.
but I just don't know if that's his deal.
Yeah, I struggled with politics in him. Like, to me, they didn't feel cohesive.
Yeah.
Al Franken hosted it for a while. The one I did really like was Kumar, Cal
Oh, he
Penn.
did it.
Yeah.
See, now I feel I need to go like freaking look this up, like go watch some of these, because I normally don't watch the Daily Show. It's never been my favorite thing.
So Cal Penn actually worked in the White House,
That's why he stepped away
yeah.
from comedy, because he was in the show House, and they killed him off in House so that he could go work at the. Which I was like, you really didn't have to kill off the character. I mean, he like died from suicide in the show, so that he could go, so that Cal Penn could go work at the White House.
Marlon Wayans did it. Not overly funny. I'm not a big Marlon Wayans fan, just in general.
I am when he was on in Living Color. But I mean, he
No.
was barely on it because he was, well, no, he was, he's the younger one, right?
He's the youngest one.
So he's the one that was just kind of like hit like
He
one season did a
wasn't in
couple
the
episodes.
credits until the final season.
But he was a DJ, wasn't he?
No, that was his brother Sean.
Okay.
SW1 was the DJ, Sean
That's right.
Wayans. Silverman did it. I like Sarah Silverman. Hasan Minhaj did it.
See, I'm not. I would like to watch more. Like, oh, I kind of like Marley most time, but
So one
more of
thing I
Sarah.
like
But
about the Daily.
Amber hates Sarah Silverman. But Amber hates just about every female comedian.
I've always. Now, don't
She
get me
doesn't like
wrong.
Silverman. She doesn't like Hannah. She does like Wanda Sykes because everyone loves Wanda Sykes. But other than that, I mean, she's very picky. Like when it comes to female comedians, there's very few that she likes. She pretty much hates most of them.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It's weird.
Is that how you brush off not hiring female comics?
What are you talking about? I'm not. I hire female comics all the time. We see the next month's lineup?
Yeah. A guy with tits doesn't count, buddy.
Hey, there's two girls with you in May.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I figured, I wanted to make sure that, I mean, you're still going to have the biggest tits on the show, but.
Ooh. You're not going to trap me in that conversation.
No, but I'm still going to say it. So.
Yep, you're not trapping me in that conversation. I mean, I wouldn't want all of this to get canceled.
I don't care if I get canceled at this point. I'm like, fuck it, who gives a shit?
Yeah, right. Good luck.
But seeing you're next month, so really it's not, this month I booked, well, there's one woman on the comedy because it's Kitsap. I let Joseph Rogers just take over in freaking Cole Street, and there's one of the Mason's a girl. And then the host is a girl at L&M Firehouse. I try and have as many as I can occasionally, but the hard part is, and this is one of the things I've had a conversation with others, there's it's hard to find. There aren't very many female headliners,
Yeah.
and so and I still try and get as many women out there as I can because it's one of those things I do want to, but it's partly too I don't really just pick. It's not like, okay, what sex are you so I can pick you. I pick the people I think are funny, and then I think I'll work great together.
Yeah.
So that's also all. I mean, partly the reason why I have the people with you. I mean, you haven't heard of Rachel's new stuff. She's got a whole thing because she's been going through some pregnancy issues,
Yeah. Oh, I've
and she
heard it all.
talks about. Oh, have you heard of like where she talks
Yeah.
about like there's just like someone pulling the chute every time she gets pregnant, it just comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she goes pretty dark.
She does. She does.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think she's
I've always
amazing.
been
She cracks me up.
a big fan of Rachel, so.
Oh, so have I. So her and Richie both, but I try not to. I used to put them on together all the time with one hosting and one featuring, but they're both at a point now where they both should be featuring. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Not only that, but I mean, you're a married man. It's nice to have a few moments away. You don't want to be the cause of their divorce.
Mean, they've only been married a year. They've still got a few years
Yeah,
before they
but
start worrying about that part.
married people shouldn't work together. We know that.
No, not at all.
So, not to say that they have egos, but eventually, if you were always the host for your spouse,
Yeah.
no,
Well,
but
I would switch back and forth.
I'm
Sometimes
just
one would
saying.
host, the other would feature. I would go back and forth on who did what, but then I'm like, no, they both feature, so we just send them both. I book them separately.
Yeah. I may look into booking a new room.
Oh, you want to get back into doing it?
It's local again. I'm not looking to go anywhere.
Boots?
No. No, God, no.
So small, though, but it'd be fun. They... I did see that you went out there again, didn't invite me. So rude. I'm giving you shit.
You're going to have to talk to Steve and Kim on that one.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
There's a place in Black Diamond just past Boots that just opened up called The Vault, and it's the old bank.
Okay.
We went and had lunch there. Me and my lawyer buddy went out there and had lunch last week, and it's Imbibe. A little bit bigger, but that type of beer, you know, the beer menus that are constantly changing, all that stuff. More of a, does have restaurant in it though, so it's not food trucks and shit, but it's a Polish restaurant.
Oh.
And the owner's Polish. We walked in for lunch, and I'm wearing just my jeans, polo shirt, typical work gear. I was nicer dressed than the lawyer that I was there with, who was wearing his Batman t-shirt and gym shorts.
You know what that works.
And I walked in, the whole fucking place is swank. Like, when you walk in, honestly, I thought they were opening up a new strip club. Like, blue velvet fucking walls and, you know. And I'm like, I literally whispered to Victor, I'm like, dude, am I underdressed for here? And the owner, Polish guy sitting at the bar, was like, underdressed? Fuck no, you're not underdressed. Get in here, get a beer. I'm like, oh, I'm on the clock, no beer for me. That guy probably came to our table 10 times. Are you getting a beer yet? Like, dude, I'm on the clock. Like, can't have a beer.
Not swinging to that one.
But food was okay. I think they opened a touch too early. They didn't have everything yet.
Yeah.
Right? We weren't having a beer, so I ordered a Pepsi. Victor ordered a Arnold Palmer. She's like, no problem. She goes to the back. She comes back, and she goes, so we only have a can of Pepsi, and we don't have any iced tea or lemonade. And Victor's like, she goes, so all we have is Pepsi, Sprite, and water. Victor's like, Diet Pepsi? And she's like, let me go check. And she came back, nope, no Diet Pepsi, just Pepsi, Sprite, and water.
Whatever works.
You know, no ranch for fries, which was odd. But instead, like, you know the old school, like, red, white, checkered food boats?
Yeah.
She brought one of those out filled with ketchup packets. And when I mean filled, when she sat on the table, half of them fell out. And she's like, here you go, you can have the ketchup, though. And just left the whole thing at my table. Pretty small menu. I don't know how it pairs with beer. It was like 4 or 5 different pierogies. Stuffed cabbage. Pickle soup. What you know about pickled soup?
That just sounds weird.
Yeah. I'm
Did
intrigued.
You have it?
No. So she tried.
I would have had it just because it sounds weird. I'm like, I don't want to fucking try that
she
shit.
She tried talking me into it, but I was like, I don't want to ruin my lunch if it's not good. Right? Because
I'd be like, can you bring me out like a small little bit?
It wasn't
sample,
a cup.
So try that shit?
Like, you got a bowl or vat?
That's like, what I mean. I'd ask, like, can you put it like in a sampler like cup and I can just fucking try a little swig?
And then they had
the beer?
Pulled pork sandwich and pulled pork sliders.
Well, we know you go for the pulled pork. But.
It was lunchtime. And to be honest, the night before, actually, we had pierogies for dinner at the house.
I mean, you're a married man. You go for getting your pork pulled anytime you can.
So. Obviously, I didn't pull my pork enough because I had 3 kids.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. See, it sounds good. I mean, it sounds like a good place. I know I've been... Someone brought up Four Corners to me recently again. So,
Four Corners Bar and Grill.
Yeah,
yeah, we went there.
Apparently, it's the kid that, not the parent. I think the kid took over.
Well, we went there on a Saturday night, maybe a month and a half ago. One person.
Yeah. I think that's why they were talking. Like, it's one of the people I know that, because I think one of the waitresses that I deal with at the firehouse also works there. And she was talking about it might be something that they might want. And I'm like, well, I know Matt's talked to him before, but and they weren't really, you know.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was pre-imbibe. That was a long-ass time
Yeah,
ago, but,
it was.
you know. And the Rusty Elbow, the one that, oh.
Marianne.
Marianne, there you go. Wanted us to take over. That place is shut down.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
So.
Like I said, when I went and watched one because Marianne ran a show there, and I talked to her afterwards, and I'm like, no. I'm like, you're getting no support from the bar. You're getting the sound system shit.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hear if you get more than 10 feet away from the stage. It was just horrible. Where like, you know, the firehouse, one of my favorite things about the firehouse, if someone walks in and like goes to the pool table, before I could even turn and say something, the waitress was back there going, nope.
Good.
No pool. So, I mean, they support us
And
100%.
as you know, in bar shows, that's the key to any success.
Yes, the bar supports us 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what's amazing on that. And that's one thing that, you know, you don't always get. And I mean, we've had that because that was a problem we had with me and you the very first time we tried doing this at Bench Warmers, you know, where we did not get the support of the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, 100%. So, who knows?
Yeah. Hey, if you want to, I'll help you do it. I'll do the first show and I can totally fuck it up.
I saw you got to go to Mariners game.
I did. I did.
Baseball is back.
I did. It was fun to watch.
That was game three, right?
No, it was game two.
Oh, so you went to the one we lost.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
Quit going to the games, please.
Yeah, no, Chris tells me that every time I tell him I went to a game, because for whatever reason they lose. It was, I mean, honestly, batting wise, they did great, but it was just fielding. I mean, it was one of those things watching it. There was some really interesting ones, like they had a throw that went off the base runner that scored two runs, and it just like everyone, it was, and Robbie Ray, I mean, Jesus Christ, how many people can you walk?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was. I mean, I think they walked six or seven people that night.
He's my worry this year, but fun. They're fun to watch, though.
They are. They're a great team. I was having a blast. And I mean, the problem was is I bought the tickets, which don't ever let me buy the tickets. We were like 337, like way the fuck up there. Which I mean, it wasn't bad view because, you know, I mean, Safeco, there's really no bad views,
Yeah.
but it's just amber going up and down the steps. So we went up the first time, went up there before we even went up. It's like, let's get some stuff before we go up there. So we got our, you know, we went and got hot dogs first because that's usually what we do. We get hot dogs at the first inning, we get garlic fries at the third, and then on the sixth inning we go get nachos. But since we Amber didn't want to go back up, with the third inning we got the garlic fries and the nachos, and then like the seventh inning, I wanted a new shirt, another because I have a Hawaiian Seattle shirt, a Seattle Mariners Hawaiian shirt, so I wanted a new one because I have a new one out. So we went down to get it on like the end of the seventh, and then we just walked the stadium.
Yeah.
So, which is great. That's one of the other things I've always loved about T-Mobile. I can walk around the field and watch the game.
Yeah. We always buy, we've been buying the last few years when we go, we've been buying the bleacher seats in center field where
We
you're.
normally do, but we didn't this time because the problem is Amber has issues with the metal seats.
Oh.
by the end of it because it's already cold and then the cold metal and she's just, you know,
Well,
she's freezing
get
by
her
the
a
end of it.
cushion. Yeah.
I've thought about it, but then she whines about having to carry it or me carrying it or whatever and getting it. You know how it is.
Yeah. I have one that has the backpack straps on it.
And I'll be honest, I don't like the seats either, but well, I got a backpack that's clear. I bought one of the clear
No, but I
backpacks
have the
that
cushion with the backpack straps
oh
on it.
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind it at all. Like, that's where, you know, my big issue was the fucking Jumbotron
Is behind you.
is behind you. And so you get a kink in the neck when something close happens and you want to see exactly what went down, you know, or when the in between inning fucking ball in the hat and the hydro
Yep.
races and, you know,
Trying
you're,
to watch them.
yeah.
See, we always went, it was just left field, right above Edgar's. So still the same seats, but over a little bit.
But, and you talk
But I
about
think
bad
those were like
defense.
$5 more, but.
Yeah. You talk about bad defense. Did you see any of the highlights from the Baltimore-Boston game?
No.
Yes, day before. Saturday, I believe. Where Boston was down. Was it Boston? Boston was down 7-1 in, like, the sixth inning. They scored six in the eighth to make it 7-6. And then they scored one in the ninth. They get another runner on, two outs, can of corn pop fly. Left fielder goes up and just kind of takes his eye off it, hits the fucking butt of his glove, falls off. Next guy comes up, two-run homer for the walk-off.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I've noticed a lot of bad defense, and I'm just around the league in general. And I keep trying to just tell myself, beginning of the year, you know, there wasn't as much work as there normally is in spring training because you had the World Baseball Classic this year.
Yep.
You know, so.
Hopefully they'll do better. I mean, that's one thing I've noticed a couple times. I mean, it was a rough start to the year, but you always get those kind of get the jitters out, get it going. I mean, you'll see. Robbie Ray is my biggest worry because he's never, to me anyway, lived up to what he was supposed to. Well, and I think the pitch clock is throwing a lot of people off.
I think the pitch clock is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And I'll wait to make judgment for the end of the year because I know why they're doing it, to try to draw more fans, shorten the game, get people interested in baseball again.
Yeah.
But what it's doing is taking purists and throwing them right out the fucking door. And if attendance isn't higher and viewership isn't higher, after this year, it needs to fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, I understand to an extent of, you know, hey, we don't need the batter stepping out of the box every pitch for 10, 20, 30 seconds to readjust. And, you know, like, I get some of that stuff. We don't need, you know, 20 timeouts an inning, either called by the pitcher or the batter, you know, to readjust. Like, I get some of that.
Yeah.
But this awarding, a fucking batter got a strike called on him the other day because he hit a foul ball. He got back in the box right away. The pitcher got on the mound right away. But when that foul ball was hit, the runner went from first and was rounding second already when it went out of play. And so he had to trot back, and he didn't get back fast enough, so they gave the batter a strike.
Jesus.
Like, to me, some of that shit's just fucking ridiculous.
It is, and I mean, that case, it shouldn't be. I mean, that's, I mean, I don't know how you get to the batter, I mean, what you do to the runner, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, the batter's not the one. Now you're fucking with his, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, one strike, but I mean, that could be a big difference. A lot of times these guys, they have
your 0-1 approach is different between your 0-2 approach, yes, too, just in general. Well,
in general, yeah, you have a different swing, you have a different approach. You're going to, an 0-1, you're going to let one go by that's close. 0-2, you're going to swing at one that's close, you know.
But 0-1, you may try to crank it. 0-2, you're looking contact.
Yes. And also, like I said, I mean, a lot of people have bonuses and stuff that are based off their batting average or based off anything else. And I mean, that might be that one pitch.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound like it could be, but if you're close.
Yeah.
And that one, you know, bat at bat is what changes it.
And when it starts messing with the outcome of the game, I'm going to struggle.
Yeah.
When you start seeing out number three on a third strike fucking time clock violation in the ninth inning.
Oh, I like, will lose it.
I'm going to start losing my shit.
Yeah.
I might get arrested if I'm at one of those games because I may charge them out.
Yeah.
Like, no, I know I'm old
school.
And when
do you think it's going to happen that they're going to start using this as, you know, trying to find ways to do it?
Yeah.
Trying to find ways to get them. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the whole, I get what they're trying to do. It's like the whole thing that, like, last year when they put it in, I'm sure it's still there, where when you go into extra innings, they start off the person on second. I don't like it. That's not fucking baseball.
Yeah.
That's not baseball. I mean, if you don't want to go there and watch a game that possibly could be 6 hours long, don't fucking go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can turn it off when it gets past the ninth inning. You're like, okay, it's time to go to bed. I mean, if it ends up being that long, that's what makes baseball great.
And it's a struggle with baseball. I get it, right, to speed up the game because baseball's not a clocked game. It's not soccer where you have 90 minutes and some injury time. It's not football where you have 4 15-minute quarters and a 10-minute overtime if needed, and then it just ends in a tie. You know, it is a play until you win type game.
Which is what makes it great.
You know, I don't know why viewership is down. I don't think we need to cater to the people that can't give their attention for 3 fucking hours.
Yeah.
I'd rather see him go back to juice baseballs and shit like that. If they want to bring excitement back to the game. I don't know why they made the bases bigger. How the fuck that's supposed to help?
I don't know.
Like, that to me doesn't make sense. Fucking move the fence in. Make every stadium 300 to the corners and 375 to center.
What? No. Don't standardize it.
You know, but I'm just saying, I can think of other ways that don't affect the game unless you're talented.
Yeah.
Right? If you have a shorter fence, are you going to have more home runs? Absolutely. The thing is, you still got to hit the ball 300 fucking feet.
Yeah.
You know, that's not an easy thing to do.
I mean, and I get some of the stuff like what I can't remember what the other thing with the pitcher, because there was a bunch of pitchers now that like their pitching, their entire style of pitching is completely out the fucking window. They got to learn how to pitch again. And what was it with the pitching? And they had to, I think it's the first step. I mean, they made the, didn't they make the balk clearer, right?
I don't know. I hadn't.
Oh, they tried
the box,
to. There was something with the pitching, because I remember seeing something with that where they said there was like 3 or 4 pitchers, and I knew a couple of them that had these really weird freaking windups. So they're like, yep, this is no longer going to be legal.
I know they got rid of the shift.
Yep. Which, why? That's the whole fucking part of baseball. It's strategy.
Yeah.
You can't shift. You can't sit there and look at a player and say, I know this player hits to that side at all time. I'm going to shift.
I think it was Boston that found the loophole. Because what it is you can't have more than 2 infielders on either side of the second base.
Yeah.
So Boston started moving their outfield.
Yeah.
Fuck them. But you're right. It's strategy, right? It's no different than the intentional walk. Now, I think you can now, but that's one way you cut time, right? Hey, Blue, I'm intentionally walking him. Don't waste time throwing 4 fucking pitches. Boom. Bye. Go. Not only that, but now your superstar fucking pitchers that are on the mound that people come to see, now just threw 4 less.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they're not looking at that shit when they have a, like, who is it? Not Logan. Who's our number 5 starter? Why can't I think of his name? Kirby.
I don't know.
Kirby. They're talking. They have Kirby on an innings and pitch count again this year to help him stretch his arm out. Well, now we're not wasting 4 pitches. You know, if he had to intentionally walk 3 batters in a game, that's 12 pitches. That's extra batters he could face.
Yeah.
That we want to see. Yeah. I'm really, it sucks because I'm really excited to be watching the Mariners this year. I think it's going to be fun. It reminds me, the team reminds me of that kind of homegrown fun like we had back in our day, which is exciting. But, you know.
And that's it. I mean, it's one of those things I think I loved. It's really like the 2001. Where, I mean, we had Ichiro, and other than that, there wasn't any, like, huge names. And even at that time, Ichiro, I don't think, was a huge name yet.
Well, Ichiro had already won Rookie of the Year.
No, I guess he had. But it's still, I mean, we had that whole thing where it was a bunch of, I mean, I don't want to say misfits, but really a bunch of misfits, just younger players and players that weren't, like, these huge contracts, huge names, and they just did fucking amazing things. And that's what this year's looking like to me so far.
There were some pretty...
But we're like 4 days in.
There were some pretty big names.
Who was still on the team in 2001?
Well, I'm going to look it up here for you and tell you. because if I'm not mistaken, Cameron was there.
But I'll be honest, Cameron at that time was kind of a bigger name, but he's really, I mean.
Dan Wilson, who had already, John Ollerud. These are all guys that were all-stars before 2001.
They were, but here's the thing, and I'm gonna say this in the nicest way possible. They were big names to us, if that makes sense.
They weren't household names per se,
no.
But they were still all-stars.
Well, they were, but I mean, what I'm saying is they weren't household names. We didn't have Ken Griffey Jr.
We had Edgar. You know,
Alex Rodriguez. I mean, we still had Edgar at the time.
We
still
had some
Brett
Boone.
Of those. But in the same time, household names. Brett Boone wasn't really a household name till after that because he was jacked and on steroids.
I mean, technically, we still had Buehner.
I love Buehner.
Pitching, we had Freddie Garcia, who was a huge name. Aaron Seeley, who was a huge name.
But was he yet at that time?
Freddie, I think the year before, was like second or third in the Cy Young.
Okay. But, I mean, still, it's like we didn't
Jamie
have...
Jamie Moyer.
But, I mean, once again, Jamie Moyer, big name to us.
He was a pretty big name around the league.
Was he? I mean, besides the fact that he played until he was 60?
Let me...
I mean, it's just one of those I love the Mariners. I mean, I've always loved the Mariners. I'm a huge Mariner fan, but...
I'm trying to see if Moyer did anything before.
I mean, I don't think he really... I mean, he was fun with us. I mean, he was good. I mean, he was a decent player. I mean, he'd been pitching for freaking... He started in 1986.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy pitched, like I said, he pitched till he was like 60. He pitched for 25 years.
Well,
he didn't retire until 2012. He played for Colorado in 2012.
I think it's on Amazon. Dude, there's a Nolan Ryan documentary. You want to talk about a guy that pitched forever?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Wasn't he like the first guy to ever get like 5,000 or something like that? 5,000 strikeouts, and then the second fastest guy to do it the second time?
No, I...
Or some fucked up thing like that.
I think he... Let me see how many he had.
I mean, he had some record where it was like he was the fastest guy to do something and then the second fastest guy to do it the second time he did it.
Well, he was the fastest... he had the fastest pitch on record for a long time. And they actually believe with the updated technology of radar guns... That is 101.9 that he threw back in the 70s was actually probably more around 109.
Oh, wow.
He started in 1966.
Oh, yeah. He played for 27 seasons.
Yeah. I'm trying to see how many strikeouts.
324 wins to go with the all-time records of no hitters, 5,714 strikeouts.
Yeah. And that was his career. So he could only do that one once. here was,
but it was like
the
one
most
of those. I remember there was some
fact.
Weird one that he had where he was like the first one to get to something and then like the second fastest as well. But it was some. He had a bunch of weird things because, I mean, he played for so fucking long.
How many Cy Youngs did Nolan Ryan win?
A few.
Fucking zero.
Oh, no, he didn't. So, 8-time All-Star, World Series champion, 69. NR National League ERA leader twice. 11-time strikeout leader. His number 30, Los Angeles Rams, is retired. Number 34, Houston Astros, is retired. Number 34, Texas Rangers, is retired. Angels Hall of Fame, Houston Astros Hall of Fame, Texas Rangers Hall of Fame, Middle East Baseball, Century Team. 5,714 career strikeouts and 7 career no-hitters.
And then I did not remember this, but Nolan Ryan's last game was here in Seattle.
No.
And he tore his elbow on a pitch. And
it doesn't surprise me the way it's, if you watch how his fucking arm moved, it's like, how in the fuck?
And left the game, and that was it. Got a standing ovation, did 2 curtain calls in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
He's one of those players, no matter where he was, everybody. you know, loved him. So what? Yeah, he had.
He does
15...
a lot of touring and stuff with Pete Rose, like doing talks and signings and shit.
Yeah. He has 7 career no hitters. The next most is Sandy Koufax with 4.
Yeah. Do you know when he passed Koufax?
Like his first season or something.
No, like no. No, he was so wild his first fucking season.
Oh yeah.
His own teammates fucking laid into the coach when the coach brought him in to pitch in that World Series game because he was so bad.
Oh wow.
No, he broke the record in the early 80s and didn't throw another one again until like 91.
Yeah. So he has 12 career one hitters, 18 career two hitters, 31 career three hitters, 15 200 strikeout seasons, 6 300 strikeout seasons, 300 strikeouts in a season. He did it 6 times.
Yeah.
4 career 19 plus strikeout games. 5 career 18 plus, 8 career 17 plus, 16 career 16 plus. Holy crap. 215 career 10 plus strikeout games.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, very, very interesting.
I mean, he is Jesus. I mean, it's one of those ones where you know he's like fucking amazing, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But he also has a major league record for walks.
Oh, yeah.
Also has a major league hit record for the least amount of hits per 9 innings.
He was a Texas Rangers president and CEO from 2008 to 2013.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Special assistant from 2014 to
19. Wow. He was the first professional athlete to sign a $1 million contract. First professional athlete to sign a $1 million contract. It's
Please.
If you get a chance, man, watch that documentary. Being a baseball guy like me, you know, it was,
oh yeah,
it was fucking amazing.
Well, you know, I love baseball as well too, but
that's what I'm saying. But also just being old school, you know, and it's weird to say Nolan Ryan started in 1966 and we were double digits in age and still watching him pitch.
Yeah.
And pitch effectively. Pitch so well that we thought he was the best out there. You know? Yeah, it's fucking insane. They talk about the Robin Ventura, where he put Ventura in the headlock and just fucking...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and started just pounding him?
Yeah. So they talked about it. Ryan said one time 15 years before that happened, he got charged and always had it in his head to go on defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got fucking busted up and whatever. And so he made a vow to himself, if I ever get charged again, I'm going offense. Fuck him. Like, I'm laying the hammer. Not waiting for somebody to throw a punch first. I'm doing it. So the White Sox, I guess in that game, a couple innings before, there were some good up and in pitchers from both teams and blah, 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 blah. And the coach pulled everybody in the dugout and was like, hey, if Ryan hits you and you do not charge the mound, you will be docked pay. You will be fined. Like, we're not fucking around. Go get him. And he plunked Ventura. That's why when you watch it, Ventura starts walking, looks over to the dugout, and then throws his helmet down and turns around and goes after Ryan.
Yeah.
And Ryan said after he did that, and the mob came out and he got pushed to the ground, that he was on the bottom of the pack. And he said he thought he was going to pass out. He was being suffocated with people standing on top of him and, you know, all that shit. Guess who pulled him out of the pile? Fucking Bo Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Who was a White Sox. But him and Bo had a thing, you know, back when Bo was really good before his hips. And Ryan tells the story. He's like, yeah, like I'm down there. I'm getting ready to pass out. Like I'm suffocating. And I feel an arm reach through and grab my arm. And who's fucking pulling me up? He's like, Bo Jackson. He's like, I hated that guy. He's like, I plunked him twice on purpose. You know, he's like threw up and in on him all the fucking time. It was something in Bo's rookie year where he took Ryan fucking yard and showed him up. You know?
Yeah.
And he goes, man, dude saved my life. Like,
well, and that's what I think a lot of people don't understand. It's like what we're talking about with all the changes right now in baseball. It's not the fucking baseball we grew up with. The baseball we grew up with, it was hardcore. I mean, if someone the team's being a shit, you fucking throw up and in.
Yeah.
Now, if you throw up and in, it's like, oh, warnings all around. You came close to hitting somebody. It's fucking baseball. I mean, how do you retaliate?
I get it to an extent.
I do to an extent, but at the same time, I mean, it's like football now. You're taking all the...
You have a ton of people that throw in those triple-digit range.
Yeah.
You take one of those to the head and it can kill you.
That's true.
Your batting helmet's not a football helmet, which is still causing concussions all over the fucking place and making players kill their wives.
Yeah.
Like, I get that part. I get the slide at second, the take out the knee slide.
Yeah.
Like, that can ruin a career.
It can.
What doesn't bother me is the collision at the plate.
No. That was part of it. I mean, it's one of those things you taught your catchers. I mean, I can remember freaking teaching Zoe that.
Yeah.
You taught your catchers as a catcher, Zoe was taught. If someone comes in on you, you freaking, like, stand your ground and you knock them on their fucking ass.
You get down like the American Gladiators on the last part of the fucking gauntlet where there are guys running through the paper and you're braced. Like, that's what you do.
And I can remember her in one of the games where there was a guy, I think it was when you were coaching, and there was a guy that was freaking twice her size running down on her. She grabbed the ball and just fucking planted it right in the center of his chest and knocked him on his fucking ass.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what the fuck? It's like, that's what you do as a catcher.
Yeah. I learned the hard way exactly how hard Rhea hits.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've got...
But did she run you down or did she hit you with a ball?
A ball.
Oh.
About 6 inches away from not being able to have kids.
You have enough kids, so, I mean, she'd probably be doing you a favor.
Yeah. No favor,
I mean, I love
Toby,
no favor, but...
made needed. I'm a one-woman man. I don't need the favor.
I mean, Toby's a great kid, but you don't need any more.
So I'm not too good at fast pitching, right? Like the underhand stuff.
Yeah.
So to make sure I can keep it on a steady line and not arch it like slow pitch, I don't stand at the 43 feet. I was probably at about 25 feet.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just me and her. So, you know the deal. You get to practice early so you can set up the field for when practice starts when you're coaching.
Yeah.
And we got there. We got the field set up. Nobody else showed up yet. And I was like, hey, you want to hit a couple buckets while we're waiting? She's like, yeah. Oh, my fucking God. Right in the thigh. I had one glove filled with softballs. The other hand hit me in the thigh. Just fucking softballs shot through the air. Now, I'll be honest, I did not swear. She even brought it up. Dad, how'd you not curse? Like, yeah.
Wow.
Took me a few minutes to walk that one off.
Oh, I bet.
Took me a few minutes. And then I shouldn't have said it, but I did say it. I'm like, now I see why the parents of the younger kids were worried about their girls playing with the older girls. Because I have 2 10-year-olds on the team. And they can't weigh more than 65 pounds. Like, that could have shattered a fucking femur.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I can almost guess. I mean, Rhea can fucking just pound them.
Well, the very next one, she hit the fence at 200 feet. Like, you know. Yeah, she can smash a ball. But, woo. Yeah, it was.
We call her meat for a reason.
It was fun, needless to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're bad. It's been a while since I did anything like that. Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, I'm sad it was me. It still hurts. Bad. It's still hot. Like, you put your hand on my thigh, it's fucking hot. There's still a welt. When it happened, I basically had a nippleless B-cup tit on my thigh. Like, yeah, it fucking stung, man. It's all yellow and gaundish looking now.
You got you good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
give her a high five for that one.
She fucking nailed me, man. But is what it is, I guess. You know, so tons of fun.
It is. It's one of those things. Like I've said before, I miss there's parts of coaching I miss, but parts of coaching I don't. If that, you know, and you know what I mean by that. I mean, the parts like, you know, where you're just having fun with the kids, enjoying it, that I miss. The getting beaten by a ball, not so much.
That's part of the game. It hurt.
That is.
It hurt in a moment. The beauty is I kind of wish the other players were there. I have a few girls that are super scared of the ball.
Yeah.
And when I didn't go down, I was going to say when I didn't cry, but my tears welled up in my eyes.
Like, I'm sure.
But
I'm sure.
And then I walked it off for 5 minutes and went right back into pitching. You know, I want to show them that, yeah, it hurts and it sucks, but it's not the end of the world. Like, you'll be fine.
And that's the hardest part, I think, is that, you know, getting that, just getting past that. I mean, getting hit by the ball and just realizing it's going to suck for a minute, but you can get past it.
Yeah. I had one. Yeah. I'm literally throwing 25, 30 miles an hour, maybe. Maybe. And I have one girl with all the fucking talent in the world, but nothing but fear.
Yeah.
And she was bailing on me.
Oh. And that's a tough one, because I remember when I coached up at CBAC, I had a kid that, if I don't remember him, he was one of the bigger kids. But just all in practice, the kid can fucking pound him. But then in the game, he would just stand there and just back away from everything. But it was one of those things, honestly, it was one of those where he finally got a swing and hit one that all of a sudden that, you know, confidence built up and he would stand in there. But it took him a while to get to that point where he would stand in and not pitch.
Yeah. I'll be honest, man. I wasn't certain about coaching girls. Knock on wood. We're about 6 weeks in right now. And this team is fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
They seem like 13 good girls. Like, I haven't had anything to... I've had to stop once and just look at gabbers, you know? But they weren't like... It wasn't bad gabbing. They were schoolgirl talking, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then like, oh. And they turn around and right back at it. I haven't had any girl tell me, I'm not doing that, you know?
That's good.
Haven't had any of that problem. So, again, knock on wood. Parents have all been wonderful.
Oh, you got a good one then.
So.
That was one of the things that finally when Zoe went up and I coached her, assistant coached one last time, and then she did the one time where it was like kind of select for the CBAC, and then me and that coach kind of had an out where we left in the middle of a tournament.
No.
But it wasn't even just me. It was like almost the whole team left him with like three players because he pissed us all off. And we all like went fine and walked away.
Well,
so
sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Well, it was in the middle of a tournament because I was like the tournament team because they didn't have enough to have a league. And in the middle of the tournament, he brought in like we got to almost I think we got to the finals or the semifinals. And then he brought in like three girls that played for him on another team and like benched all of ours.
Uh-oh.
And we're like, this is bullshit. We got us here. And he's like, nope, this is what I'm doing. And we all went, fuck you, and walked and left him with like three players.
Good.
So.
Good.
Yeah. He was calling us like as we were driving away. We were like on the freeway and he's calling like, please come back. And we're like, nope, sorry, dude. We're out. It's like, you upset my daughter. You hurt her feelings. I'm out. See you later.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure I'll hurt feelings when the time comes. They're starting to learn I take it a little intense.
But when you hurt feeling, it's going to be a different way. You wouldn't sit there and have the girls get you to a certain point in the thing and then say, okay, you're all benched. I'm bringing in a bunch of players from a select team that I know about, that I think are better than you.
No, not my style at all.
That's not your style. You'll hurt feelings because you're going to tell them the truth.
If you miss a practice, especially the one right before a game, you're not starting for me. But
yes. So you'll hurt feelings for, and there's valid reasons behind it. You wouldn't hurt feelings just to win a game.
Well, I also hurt feelings because I'm pretty blunt.
Yeah.
I've told a few, That's... I've asked a few girls already, like, why is your head up your ass? What are you doing? Like, you know, so.
But like I said, I mean, there's reasoning behind it. Yeah. So, I mean, you wouldn't do it just to be an ass. Just, well, okay, you would be just be an ass, but not just to win a game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I like to play the game the right way. You know.
Yeah.
So 100%.
Oh yeah.
But I get pretty intense, as you know.
No, we know. We both do.
I've got a fucking passion that's unreal when I'm out there, so.
How many times before you were a coach when you were still an ump did I come flying out of the freaking dugout screaming at you?
Yeah. You're just lucky you waited and or did it early enough before I started getting comfortable throwing people.
Oh, yeah. I can remember the one time, like, your dad made a call that I had a question, and I took a step, and, like, he just gave me that look, and I'm like, mm-hmm, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I can remember he looked at me one day and goes, I'm not Matt, and I'm like, I know.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah. He's like, you might get away with that with Matt, but you're not going to get away with it with me, and I'm like, yes, sir.
Too fucking much. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Well, he was there the day I threw like 17 people out in the first inning, so.
I can see that.
A bronc.
I threw a guy the time that you had me up, and it was one thing. I think I had more respect for the umpires when you had me up a couple times.
Yeah.
And I went up, and where it was, I had to throw parents, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. I see why, you know. I mean, he gave me a lot more leeway than he should have.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
I always tried to, but, you know.
Yep.
As I got beat up over the years verbally, I drew a line eventually.
Yeah. So. I think the funnest one was the one I was doing it, and one of the kids started giving me shit, and his coach looked at me and said, it's the same place he's been calling all game. It's your fault, not his.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you. Because it was like, and I'll be honest, it was in a game I was calling low strikes, but I'd been calling low strikes for like six innings by then, so.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's what I try to teach anybody I coach, like, hey.
Consistency.
Learn the strike zone. Not the one the book tells you, the one the guy behind the plate is calling. This is why we're paying attention to every batter, even when you're on defense, when you're on the bench, whatever, so we can look and go, hey, this umpire is calling high. He's calling low. He likes inside. He, you know, whatever the case may be, because as long as he's consistent, I don't normally care.
No. And see, me, it's low and outside. I like a low and outside pitch, but that's because that's what I like to hit.
But if he's inconsistent and you're calling high strikes on this girl, but low strikes on, like, that's where
I lose it. And when I first started playing, I had an issue at first. And then after a while, I figured it out. Okay, as long as they're consistent, whatever. And then that's the same thing. But I think a lot of that, too, was spending a lot of time with you and your dad where it was like, you know, this is what, because when I got thrown into coaching, I'd never done it. It was just like, here, have fun.
Yeah.
So, and I learned a lot from you and your dad on how to do, like, what to look for and what to be, like, that first year of really me. Because it was really only the first year and maybe the second where I really came unglued on you. But then after a while, it's like, okay, no, I'm seeing it now.
Yeah.
You know, I just needed that first year to figure it out because I never planned on coaching. It was just like, hey, we don't have enough. You played before. Have fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, not quite how I got thrown in, but, you know.
That's how I got thrown in.
I basically took the Bad News Bears because I had 13 kids that got cut from All-Stars that came up and asked me if I'd take them to tournaments.
Yeah.
And then we went 0-24.
Yeah. But you had fun.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It took me till tournament four before I was like, hey, we're not going to win anything. Like, I need to not yell and teach these kids something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was me. The first year was tough. And then it was like the second year was the year. I think, I was trying to think. The second year was when I was at CVAC with Zoe. And that's when I got the team where it was like everyone took all the really good players and then left me with the ones nobody wanted. And by the end of the year, it was like the Bad News Bears where they were actually doing good and we got into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Was that your old White Sox team?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I remember. See, look at that. I remember.
Oh, we had fun. I mean, it was a fun group. I mean, it was so much fun with that group. And then I did the fall ball because that's what Zoe wanted to do. And I mean, it was a blast. I enjoyed it, but I miss it at times. But other times I hear some of the stuff here, I'm like, yeah, I don't miss the parents. I loved playing with the kids, but the parents used to fucking drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not the position my kid plays. I'm like, have you asked your kid?
Yeah. I haven't had that once. The only semi thing with this one, the girl who's afraid, her mom was also one that's concerned with, she even told me, the first BP we had that, and I had heard from the director that there was a parent who watched my girls at assessments and went, I don't want my daughter having to catch the balls they're hitting. And specifically pointed out my two daughters. And I didn't know which girl it was. I was just told, hey, there was a parent that is really concerned with your girls. And I ended up drafting her. Super good ball player, really is. But like I said, fear. And so the first day at BP, after BP, I just kind of asked everybody, hey, just give me an idea. I'm just curious what positions we play. And she was like, I play first and outfield. And the mom was like, I think she's just going to play outfield this year. Well, that's, she can catch pop flies. I'm good with it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't have another other girl that was like, I'll play outfield. So I've already told them all, like, I'm going to be hurting your guys' feelings, just so you know. Like, we can't play a game with 3 second basemen and one outfielder. Like,
yeah.
You know.
And that's it. I mean, it's one of those things. I remember many players were all of a sudden, it's like, I remember it was Sam Dacus, whose dad was like, he's not a pitcher. When I was playing, I had him in fall ball, and he's like, he plays for me in the, you know, spring. He is not a pitcher. And I'm like, okay, Sam, what do you want to do? I want to pitch.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's have some fun. And it wasn't until I think his dad came to one of his games, and one of the games, and I put Sam in on purpose because his dad was there. And he's like, oh, maybe he is a pitcher.
Yeah.
I'm like, the kid throws freaking hard.
Yeah. Well, Sam also threw his elbow out sophomore year. Never pitched again.
That surprised me. He threw hard.
Yeah, that was his dad's big concern with him pitching.
Yeah. I asked him, you know, and the mom said it was okay, and I'm like, okay.
Because I still talk to Sam. He'll message me.
Oh, he was a great kid.
Yeah. So, all right, man, tell me what you got coming up Wednesday.
Wednesday at Cole Street, it's basically Comedy and Kitsap's taking over. It's Thomas Friday, Max Weissong, Morgan Collis, and Joseph Rogers. Closing it out, plus maybe a couple more. So we'll kind of see what happens there and who he brings with him. But it's always a blast. They did L&M Firehouse not too long ago, and they did a great job. So they're a fun group. So they're going to come out to Enumclaw and take over that show for the night. And then for the Firehouse, the next Thursday, we have hosted Courtney Bird's going to host. Mike Hansen's going to feature, and Mike Wally Walters is going to close it out.
There you go.
Which will be a blast. Mike Wally Walters, I mean, if you've never seen him, he's fun. He was at, we had him in Enumclaw a couple months ago. He did really well. So, I mean, he's been doing this for longer than most of us have been alive.
Very true. All right. Well, it was kind of fun talking baseball. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time since you could even get excited about it,
you know? So
I don't know why it's been the last couple of years. I have not. It's just baseball has not freaking excited me. But for whatever reason this year, I just like, let's go to a game.
Again, when you get these young kids that are coming through our farm system.
Yes.
That are exciting to watch. Not what you heard about on the news from Baltimore's farm system or, you know.
Yeah.
Like these are our homegrown kids in Kirby and Rodriguez and, you know, fucking Cal Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm really pulling for, oh, my God, left fielder.
Oh. No, I'm not. Kelnick, I'm trying to think. It's
Jared
not...
Kelnick.
Oh, Kelnick does really good. Teoscar, he does good, too. I like him, too. Yep. There's a few of them that I like in there. So
yeah, so there's some guys out there. And I know we got Kelnick, actually. I think we got him from the Mets. But
he's still young and doing
great.
He
hadn't made his debut at that point yet or anything. So, there's just some young, fun. You watch a lot of these guys. They kind of play the same way that Griffey did. And as much as I hate Griffey, the one thing I've always given him credit about is the kid played the game like a kid.
And I think that's one of the things, like when we've talked about this, I know you never liked, I mean, you're not a big fan of Griffey's, but one of my favorite parts about him, he was always smiling.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved. He loved the game. And it's the same thing. Like, I think it's Patrick Mahomes, why I love him in football. I mean, he doesn't play for us, but he's always got a smile on his face and he just looks like he's out there having a blast.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.